Scripture reading tonight is from Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 13. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Good evening. Good to see everybody out this evening. I was in preaching at Waco this morning, so I wasn't here to hear the announcements. I can only assume that Todd mentioned that I would be preaching tonight, which is the reason for the lack of attendance this evening. But I do appreciate everybody coming out tonight. It's not nice out there, so I'll try to be brief and not keep you here too long. But tonight I want to continue on the study that we had started a couple weeks ago. And that study is, why did God give us the Bible? We all pretty much know why God gave us the Bible, but the reason for this study is to help us to try to talk to others about why they need to understand why God gave us the Bible. Other people in the world need to understand why God gave man the Bible. And obviously it's our job to tell people about the Bible. And it's our job to educate people and encourage them to read their Bible and to understand what God's will is for us here on this earth. So first of all, the first thing we're going to look at is that God gave us the Bible to tell us that we are lost, that we have a need, to tell us that we deserve to be saved. There's a reason that we're to be saved. To explain what God has done to save us. What steps did He take to give us that salvation? To reveal the meaning of that salvation and why we have that. To reveal what we must do to be saved. What steps do we have to take to make that happen? And to reveal what we must do to stay saved. How do we maintain that? How do we hold on to that? So first of all, God gave us the Bible to tell us that we are lost. We can see that in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Everyone has sinned, and we have to explain to people that even though they don't want to hear it, they have sinned. They have done things contrary to what God's will is. They have disobeyed God and transgressed His commandments. People need to understand that fact. Once they understand that, hopefully it'll make things easier. We can also read again, in Ephesians chapter 2, as our brother Gary read to us, Ephesians 2, specifically verse 12, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ." So what we have done for our sins has separated us from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We're in the same situation if we have not obeyed Christ. We are without God. The key here is verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We can be saved, and we will be saved if we draw near to Christ. And then in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. There's two classifications here. There's sheep and goats. Which one are we in? And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's going to be a separation on Judgment Day. And we need to tell people that there's going to be something, an event that's going to happen that they cannot avoid. They cannot avoid it, and they can't change it after this life is over. If you get a speeding ticket or you do something that the law says that you should not have done, or they think that you did that, you're probably going to have to go to court. And usually it's a good idea to take an attorney with you, because I don't know about you, but I don't know much about law and how that works. So If you find yourself going to court, you probably need an attorney. That's a judgment of a different kind. The judgment after this life is over is a bit different. There's no one that's going to speak up for us and say, but this person did this. They were a good person. Our actions have already recorded that. There is a record that is going to be read, and it's going to show whether we've done what God wanted us to or not. Our only defense is what we do in this life. And we need to explain that to people, that this life is all we have to make it right. To make it right for God so that we can have that home of eternal life. The next thing to look at here is God gave us the Bible to tell us that we deserve to be saved. Not of anything that we have done, but that God has given it to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, this is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, God didn't just tell us, hey, I want you to be My children, but you're on your own. You got to figure it out. He told us in the Scriptures what we have to do to be saved. He wants us to be saved. His desire in verse 4 is that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. A lot of people today are not going to come to the knowledge of the truth without us. We have to speak up and say something to them. John 3, verse 16 and 17, gives us another reason. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. We need to tell people about that. We need to tell people that the rule book that we follow, the Bible, is not to condemn people. It's to save people. People don't want to follow rules. We know that. We can see that in children. They don't want to follow the rules. That's no fun. It's exciting to live dangerously. Children think that they are invincible and can do whatever they want. Are we really that different as adults? Most people think they can do whatever they want and get away with it, that there's no consequences. But if you tell them that they're not supposed to do something, they normally don't like that. They don't normally like being told that they're wrong. But the whole point here is that we might be saved through him. That salvation is what we need to tell people about. Another reason God gave us the Bible was to explain what God has done to save us. What did he do? Well, Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us that for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. These scriptures give us hope. I had a lesson not too long ago about hope. And that's something that the world desperately needs. They desperately need hope. So many people in this world are desperate for hope. We can give that to them with the scriptures. And then over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, down in verse 22, says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." God gave his son up so that he would suffer and die a horrible death so that we can have salvation. And then over in verse 32 of the same chapter, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. My head's a whirlwind. Right now. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." God raised him from the dead. Raised up Jesus from the dead so that we can have that gift of eternal life. That's what God did for us. He gave up his son. The next thing God did by giving us the Bible, he revealed the meaning of salvation. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." That's what salvation means. It's the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's what that means. Do we have that in anything else? No, of course not. There's nothing else in this world that can give us that. The forgiveness of our trespasses, erasing sins. Sometimes I have a hard time even grasping that. God erases our sins like they never even happened. If we repent of them, of course. And of course, Mark chapter 16. Verse 16 says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." That's as simple as it gets. But so many people in this world twist those scriptures into believing what they want to believe. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. How people can justify not including baptism in that is beyond me. It's right there in black and red or whatever color your Bible is. It says, if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. That's the meaning of salvation. We need to tell people about that as much as we can. Because that's the only way. There's no other way. No matter what people think, there's no other way to be saved. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you were made. You made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." If we fight that good fight of faith, we are taking hold of eternal life. It's really in our control, is what that's saying. We have control of whether we have eternal life or not. No one else has control over that. Just us. No one else on this earth can dictate our eternal life. We are the only ones who can make that choice. The next thing we gain from God giving us the Bible is revealing what we have to do to be saved. Exactly what steps we have to take. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 says, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" If we do what is right, we are acceptable. Hebrews 5, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Obedience is what we have to do. He is the source of eternal salvation if we obey him. That's the key. Just knowing what we have to do to be saved isn't good enough. We have to do it. We have to take those actions to be saved. What are those things? We have to hear Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." People in the world who really haven't heard the gospel don't have faith. It's impossible to have faith if you haven't really heard the gospel. They may think they have faith. They may think that they believe in God. They may think that they're a good person. They may even think that they're going to heaven after this life is over. But if they haven't heard the word or read it for themselves to understand what salvation really is and to do the things that they need to be saved, they can't have that faith. You have to believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." People have to have faith, and we have to tell them about that faith through the Scriptures, because without it, it is impossible to please him. You have to repent in Acts chapter 17, in verse 30. "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This times of ignorance, I'm not really sure how God is going to do that. I'm not really sure what God has decided is a person that is ignorant of his will. That's in the past, though. Ignorance is no longer an excuse. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Our job is to tell people about that. We have to tell people about this coming judgment and that they need to repent. Over in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Confession is a critical part of salvation. And of course, being baptized. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." It's one or the other. It's not both. If you are baptized and you do what God tells you to do, you will be saved. If not, you're going to be condemned. You know, there's no little asterisk there that says, as a footnote, there's an exception to this rule. I don't know of any exceptions. It's one or the other. Either you're baptized and you're saved, or you're not. And that's something we need to tell people, that they need to obey the gospel. They desperately need to obey the gospel. Sometimes that's not easy, to tell people that whatever their past religion that they believed in is wrong. People don't want to hear that, but they need to hear it. They need to hear it, because if they don't, and they don't believe, and they're not baptized, they will be condemned. How many people in this world do we know, personally, right now, this very moment? How many people do you know on this earth? Whether it's family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, anyone that you know, if they have not done these things, they are condemned for all eternity. That's a scary thought, to know that some of our families and some of our friends that refuse to obey the gospel are never going to go to heaven. If you have done that, you have become a Christian. That's a requirement. We know that, to be saved. What do we have to do, though? We have to stay saved. That's another reason that God gave us the Bible, to tell us that. In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. If our friends and our neighbors and our family are not abiding in the teaching of Christ, they do not have God. They may think they do. And I'm pretty sure they think that they do. If they're a religious person, they think that they're doing what is right. They think that they're doing what God wants them to do. Most people in this world don't live their life saying that, well, I'm going to follow this religion. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Most people don't do that. Most people think that what they're doing is right. But it says, whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. We have to abide in the teaching. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, he doesn't say in this verse, do as much as you can, and you'll get that crown of life. Do as much as you think is good enough. Do your best. We tell that to our kids a lot. You know, whether they're playing sports or doing their homework, do your best. Unfortunately, kids don't always do their best. Why? Because they know that they can get away with not doing their best. Sometimes they can just kind of skate by and get through that class or that test or whatever the homework is. They can do just the bare minimum and get by. I did it. I'm sure everybody else did it. I just wanted to get through that math class. He doesn't say just do your best. He says remain faithful. Sometimes our best isn't good enough. What we think is our best may not be good enough. We have to remain faithful. That is a requirement for that crown of life. Basically, we have to do whatever we can to remain faithful. Whatever it takes to remain faithful. If that means changing our lives and changing up everything that we do just so that we can remain faithful, then do it. Make it happen. Do whatever it takes to have that crown of life. That's how important that is. You know, if you're taking a class and you want an A in that class, you're going to have to probably step up and do more than you normally do. Sure, some classes are easier than others. But if it's a hard class, you're going to have to do more than your best. You're going to have to do extra, a little bit of extra work. And that's what we need to do when we're dealing with other people. Just, you know, being a good example is critical. But sometimes it takes a little bit more. Sometimes we need to encourage people a little bit more to hear the gospel, to understand it, to know what they need to do to be saved. And that's why God gave us the Bible, so that we can tell others that they can be saved too if they obey His word. I encourage you all to think about that. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that tonight. Obey the gospel tonight. Become a Christian, be baptized for the remission of your sins, so that you can have that crown of life. If you've done that and you've fallen away, you have sin in your life, you need to repent of that. If it's of a public nature, we can pray for you and with you about that. But whatever you need to do that now as we stand and sing to encourage you.